in here. So I made a decision, a choice, to pursue him and follow him and let him be Lord of my life. When I made that choice, that made all the difference in the world, because one of the things that happened, and I'll tell you about this later, basketball disappeared. God came on the scene. I started working with people like you when I was 19 years of age, and I've been doing this now for a long, long time since then. It's a beautiful thing what God does when we begin to let him move from our heads to our hearts. Not only did that take place, but then I married. I married Carol. Carol and I were married for 28 years. We had four children. And those four, after we had those four children and we raised them up in a happy and normal family, Carol died. It was tragic. It was difficult for our family. We had lots of pain as a result of that. It was hard on my kids. It was hard on everybody. Sometimes it's still really hard for us. At the same time, that's true. One of the things that we began to see is how God, in all of his greatness and what's beyond what we can even see, God's working. At the same time, Carol died. Within a few months, my good friend Dave Busby died. He was the oldest living cystic fibrosis patient in America. Died at 47. He was one of my best friends. When David died, I was supposed to actually even speak at his funeral, but couldn't go because my wife was sick. My wife died. David died. I, by God's providence and greatness, married his widow. So between the two of us, we have five kids. Now, at this point in life, those five kids are all married. So there's 10. Of those 10 kids, five families, we have 11 grandchildren. And at one point, they were 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Amazing. Now, you think about that. That is an amazing life. What I just told you there, kind of like bullet points, that is an amazing life that I've lived. And yet, when I was your age and was thinking about something that was beyond, all I could think about was basketball. All I could think about was kind of me. I couldn't ever imagine that all these things were going to happen with me down the road. So the theme for this week is beyond. And we do want to think beyond. Beyond what we could ever imagine. Now, pause right here with me. Close your eyes. And I want you to think. I just want you to think about two pictures or three. Okay? I want you to imagine. Just get that word in your mind. Imagine. And I'm going to imagine what's going to be my life is going to be like a year from now. Think about that. I'm going to imagine what my life is going to be like 5 years from now. Okay, so close your eyes and imagine that. Take a picture 1 year from now. My life's going to be what? Take another picture 5 years. My life is going to be what? Take a third picture if you can go that far and say 10 years from now, I am imagining what my life is going to be like. Got the pictures in your mind? Okay, how many of you got a picture in your mind? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. Let me just tell you one thing. Whatever it was that you imagined, the great probability is that it will be totally different than that, and totally because of God, totally beyond where you think it will be right now. God has greater things in store for you beyond what you could ever possibly imagine. However, that future and the great plan that God has for you that's so far beyond is determined by the choices that you make now. And basically, there are only two choices to be made, okay? It's not rocket science. It's not physics class, okay? Two choices. One choice, second choice. I choose here or I choose here. Choice number one, I choose me. Okay? I choose me. I choose myself. I choose to please myself, to fulfill my own desires, to do what I want to do. And that choice then takes me down a path that leads to where lots of people are going today. And so you look at your life and you look at your friends around you, and the attraction is so strong toward the me life. You think about your friends, you think about what you do every week, the strong attraction that your friends have on you toward drinking and the party life and sex and all the things that everybody's just doing with you, around you, at this point in your life. And the attraction is like this. I mean, just draws you. It keeps drawing you in. Everything about wanting a girl or wanting a guy or wanting the party life or wanting friends, and I want and I want. And not only that, you throw on top of that the fact that in our culture, it's the whole message is entertain me, entertain me, entertain me. Me, 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 me. Say it out loud with me. Me. Say it with me. Me, me, me. I'm into me. And the truth is, you're like me when I was your age, and you're like most of your friends, you're like your culture today. Me. For many of you in here this morning, me is the choice that you're making. And yet I'll tell you that when you pursue down that road, you go down there 1 year. Al mentioned last night, pregnancy, you know, alcohol, accidents, etc. Not unheard of whatsoever. You go down that road 10 years. 10 years from now, you've got a divorce. You've got alcoholism. You've got loneliness. You've got broken relationships. You've got a shattered life that is taking you toward destruction.
I thought you were going back.
So to make that choice, the me choice,
got a video little in right here.
That is really not a wise choice to make. And so one of the things that we're doing here at this camp this week, one of the things that Al and I are speaking to you about is making a different choice. So you can choose me, or you can choose Christ. You can choose the me life, or you can choose the Christ life. And when you choose the Christ life, it's absolutely amazing the adventure you go on. Over here, it appears to me like glamour, glitz, good, everything. But it's destructive. Over here, the Christ life, take up your cross, follow me. Wow, that's hard. But Jesus takes you on, when you decide to follow Jesus, make him Lord of your life, then he takes you on an adventure that is absolutely beyond anything you can ever imagine. For 50 years now, over 50 years, I, the old guy in the crowd here, I have been following Jesus. And I can tell you this, Jesus has never, ever, even in the death of my wife, ever disappointed me. Jesus has always taken me on an adventure. Jesus has expanded my little, small, boring, dull little West Virginia high school basketball player life into something that is so far beyond anything I could have ever imagined. So right now, at this point in time, through what we do, what I do, we have ministries in Cuba, 13 countries in Africa, Ukraine, all over the Middle East, places all around the world. And when I was 16, thinking about me and making the me choice, I could never have imagined that God would take me to these places. And then I made that head-to-heart choice. So Jesus, you be Lord of my life. And when that took place, everything began to change because God began to walk me down the path of his plan and his purpose for my life. Woo! Awesome. Awesome. And that's what God has in mind for you. So here's where we want to be at the end of the week. This is my hope for us when we get to the end of our time here together at camp. It kind of centers around this little story about my grandson, who's 4. His name is Scotty. And so they had an Ash Wednesday service in the church. You know what Ash Wednesday is? You know, when you go to church thinking about the cross, the resurrection, they put the ashes on your head. So he's 4. He went with his parents. They put the ashes on his head. And he was so tired up about having these ashes on his head. He just kept looking at himself in the mirror and looking at himself and thinking, oh man, this is so awesome. And so that night, they gave him a bath. Problematic, because it washed the ashes off. He pitched a fit. I mean, he was inconsolable. He cried, went to bed crying that night because the ashes were all gone off his head. So he goes to bed like that. The next morning, my son, Jonathan, is laying in bed sleeping and sound asleep, and he feels this breath from his face. And so he opens his eyes, and there's little Scotty with this huge smile on his face. And when Jonathan opens his eyes and sees what has happened, Scotty has taken a permanent Sharpie magic marker with the cross right on his head. Isn't that awesome? You know what my hope for every one of us in this room is before this week is over? Is that before this week is over, we will have a cross etched right here on our forehead. Boom, boom, just like that. And with the cross etched on our foreheads, we can go beyond what we have ever imagined in our whole lives. So here's what I want you to do. Stand up with me right now. Stand up right there where you are. And we're going to say this out loud. Say this with me. Go back one. So say this with me out loud. The Lord will take me beyond what I ever imagined. All right, now let's turn that into a prayer. And say, in prayer, oh Lord, take me beyond what I ever imagined, okay? Oh Lord, take me beyond what I've ever imagined. Okay, you can sit down now. So here's the point during my time this week. I want us to see him and not you, okay? I want to see him and not me. I want to see him and not you. That's what we're looking at. And we're going to look at the greatness of God. And the greatness of God is beyond what we could ever imagine. Dude, God is great, and he is worthy of our praise. So we look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Let's just put up that passage of scripture. Read it out loud together. It goes like this. Let me say it for you, and we'll read it together. I want to plant it right in your mind. I'll exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond anything that I can understand or fathom. Wow. Let's just read that out loud together. I exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Wow. So let's just look. I want us to see the greatness of God this morning and see how great God is. At least, here's what I want us to do. Okay, we won't get our arms around the greatness of God, but we're going to try to grasp a little glimpse. We're going to grasp a little glimpse of the glory of God and how amazing he really is. So with that in mind, though we can't grasp it with our tiny little brains, we're going to give it a shot. And I want you to see four things about how God is great. Four things in that passage we just read. He is God, he is King, he is Lord, and he is great. Let's go back and look at that. He is God. He is the God. He is the only God. There is no other God besides him, the Bible says. He is Yahweh. He is the only Lord, the only God, the only one that exists as God. Nobody else could be God but him. But not only is that true, he's my God. He's a personal God. He wants to have a relationship with me. And he's the King. He's not only the King, because the King is the ruler, and the ruler has subjects and servants, and they follow him, and they do what he says, and they obey him, and they follow the King and live in his kingdom. But he's not only the King, he's my King. He cares about his subjects. He cares about me personally. He cares about you. So as the King, he's not just some king up there giving edicts. He is the King who cares about you and wants to have your best interest at heart. Not only that, he's the Lord. He is the Lord. And the Lord is the one who is in charge, the one who is supreme, the one who rules and reigns over everything. He is the Lord, and the scripture says here that he is great. He is great. And when it says he is great, it means that he has a greatness that no one can possibly even grasp. It is unfathomable, indescribable. So I want you to watch this video so you can get a little bit of the idea of what that looks like. Beyond the greatness of God. And therefore, the scripture says here that he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. Now, let's look at a second aspect of the greatness of God, and that is the greatness of God is in Jesus. The greatness of God is found in Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we see God himself. Now, the problem with that is, and we'll look at the greatness of Jesus in a minute, but the problem is that all of us in here, every one of us, youth pastors, pastor myself, everyone, has a smaller view of Jesus than he really is. So we don't see him all this greatness. He's small to us. A lot of times we have a warped view of who he is. So it's like at this, there was this Passover play one time. You know, Passover play is where you do the Easter thing and the actors are up there and they act it out during the Easter season. And so there was one of these going on in the Midwest. And so they had this thing go on and been going for about, oh, I don't know, 6 weeks, something like that. True story, by the way. They've been going about 6 weeks, and they decided that they'd gone through about these 6 weeks. And one night they were doing this, and they were just going through the motions, doing what they normally do. And when they got to the scene about it is finished, Jesus is on the cross. And so Jesus is on the cross, and he's supposed to say, it is finished. He drops his head, breathes, and then dies, okay? And then the three soldiers in the back are supposed to come out with a collapsible sword, poke him in the side, take him down from the cross, and on they go with the next scene. Okay? So what happens is, this particular night, Jesus is on the cross. He says, "It is finished." Drops his head, breathes his last, dies. Nothing. So Jesus peeks. Okay, he just gives a little peek up like this. Sees nothing's happened. So he starts again. So he says, "It is finished." Bows his head, breathes his last, dies. Still nothing. So Jesus then goes one more time. He yells out, "It is finished." Drops his head, dies. And finally, the guys in the back realize what's happened. They've been back there playing cards. And they lost track of the time. And so they realize that they throw their cards on the floor. They jump up. They run out. They grab the sword, run out, and they poke Jesus in the side. The only problem was that the guy in charge of the sword had picked up a real sword instead of the collapsible sword. And so Jesus that was dead, boom, now he's alive. Ah! And so the ambulance comes in. They take Jesus off the cross. They lay him on a stretcher, and they wheel him off in this ambulance. Oh. Now, but the show has to go on. And so they have a stand-in, Jesus. So they do this scene again, the It Is Finished scene. They start there, and they start going again, and they get to the ascension scene. And when they get to the ascension scene, Jesus is supposed to say, "I ascend to the Father in heaven." He's got belts all around him, ropes up his back, pulleys and stuff. And when the guys flip the switch, he ascends into heaven. The only problem was that they had forgotten, didn't account for the fact that the stand-in Jesus weighed about 40 pounds less than the original Jesus. And so they flip the switch, and the underweight Jesus goes, meow, he's up in the rafters, ricocheting all around, flying all over the place. He flies, falls down on the floor. Second ambulance comes in. Second stretcher comes in. They wheel Jesus off. And what do you think that people are thinking about who Jesus was? And that's sort of like where we are. We kind of have this warped view of Jesus, this sort of wrong sense of how small he is, how weak he is, how inept he is. And yet, we say we worship him. But a lot of times we don't understand it. We don't grab hold of that. So this morning, I want us to grasp that. From Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, I want us to look at the greatness of God in Jesus. And here's what it says about Jesus. It says that he was the visible expression of the invisible God. He was the firstborn among all creation. In him, all things were created, whether in heaven or earth, visible or invisible. Whether powers, dominions, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might be supreme. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether in heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. Read that with me out loud, together, in reverence to the great Jesus, the one who's greater than we can even imagine. Say it with me. He is the visible expression of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether heaven or earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. Look there. When you follow down through that passage, you'll see these things. You'll see that he is God. Jesus is God in human form. You'll see that he is the creator. In him, all things were created, whether in heaven or on earth. At the beginning of time, the Trinity created the whole universe. He was the creator. He was pre-existent. Before anything was, Jesus was. He said himself, before Abraham was, I am. He's the sustainer. All things hold together through him. Every day the sun sets, the sun rises. It turns day, it turns night. The flowers bloom, the flowers die. The seasons come, the seasons go. Imagine this. If you just took your hand like this, stick your hand like this and hold it like this, and here I'm God, and under here is the world, okay? And God is sustaining the whole world by his word of power. One word. All it takes is one word. And all God has to do is just lift this little finger here, move this little hand, just so much like this, turn this way, and all of a sudden, everything about the whole universe goes to hell in a handbasket. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the leader, the head of the body of the church. It says that because he was raised from the dead, now sits at the right hand of God, he is supreme, and all of the fullness of God lives inside of him. Every bit of God in all of his greatness over here now lives in Jesus, the human being. And it says that not only does all the fullness of God dwell in him, but it also says that through him, the whole world is reconciled. When he said it is finished, he reconciled the whole world to himself. And now he is in the process of reconciling everything. And part of what he's doing is reconciling you and wanting to reconcile your friends and bring everybody back and make it all right. And one day, at the end of time, he will put it all back together in the new heaven and the new earth. He is the reconciler. That's the Jesus that you know. That's the Jesus that we claim to worship. That's the Jesus that we sort of flip off sometimes and don't really pay attention to what he's saying about our lives. So what do we do about that? What do we do with that when we realize that? If God and through Jesus is greater than anything we've ever imagined, what response do we make? God's greatness calls for response. There's a wrong response. The wrong response we talked about before. It's the selfie response. I'm going to keep focusing on me. Take a picture of me. Take a picture of me. Take a picture of me. It's all about me. It's me. It's me. It's me. No, it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about how great you are. It's about how great he is. Not how great you are. It's how great Jesus is. And so when we say that, we say, not me. I'm going to reject that response. Not me. But I'm going to make the right response, and I'm going to say yes to Jesus, yes to who he is, and I'm going to respond not by exalting and praising myself. I exalt you, Mary St. Clair, me, me, me. No, I'm going to say, I exalt you, Jesus, God, in all your greatness, my God, my King, my Lord. I'm going to exalt you, and I'm going to praise your name. That's hard sometimes. When my wife Carol died, one of the things that happened in the unraveling of our family was me calling out to God and saying, God, why? Why? She didn't have to die. I prayed for her to be healed, and you didn't heal her? If you're so great, where were you at all? What happened to you in all this? Where were you? When my wife died. And that was sort of my mode for a little while. And then God clearly showed me one day. He said to me, Mary, hear me very clearly here. Don't misunderstand. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than your ways. Because I'm God, and you are not. And I know better for you what you need and what I'm doing than you know about what you need and what you're doing. And at that point, I moved beyond my little self. As disappointed and hurt and as painful as that was, I moved beyond myself. I said, God, I exalt you. I praise you. I pray to him for who you are. So how do we do this? When do we do this? The scripture says this. So this is the cracking part right here. I want you to catch this and then we'll close. I want you to see, go on beyond that. I want you to see this. I want you to see that God wants us to praise him every day. Okay? Every day I'll praise you and bless your name forever and ever. So every day, watch this now. God wants you to be aware of him. He wants you to be aware of his greatness and say, I want to praise you. I want to choose to praise you today. And then when do we praise him? Then how do we praise him? Watch me right here. Okay? Take your face and do this right here. Grab your face right here. Okay, right here. Okay? So this is what we do all day long. This is the way we start the day. This is the way we get through the day. I take my face and I get my face off of looking down here and looking in here, see how I look, everything about me. And I just do this with me. I lift my face and I look up to Jesus and I look up to God in his greatness and say, God, I grasp you. I choose you. I look for your greatness in all of the little things around my life. My focus is on you. And once you focus your eyes on him in a general sense, then every day, watch this now, every day you start your day with your face turned toward Jesus. You turn to his word. You find out who he is. You find out more about his greatness. You find out more about the greatness of Jesus, and you enter into that. As my uncle used to say, no Bible, no breakfast, okay? So I turn to God's word, and I grab hold of his greatness every morning. And then I walk out the door, and I say this, I exalt you, my God and King. So as we close this morning, I just want you to stand up with me, and we're going to say this Psalm 145, these first three verses. Just stand up right there where you are. And this is going to be kind of our closing prayer. He says, the scripture says for us that great is the Lord and worthy of praise. So we're going to exalt him and praise him and say he's worthy of praise. Okay? We're not going to do the whole thing. We're just doing the first three verses. And let's just say this out loud, and I'll say it, and then you say it after me, as a praise. In fact, raise both your hands straight up in the air. Turn your face straight up to God. And now, in his presence, say this, I exalt you, my God and King.
I exalt you, my God and King.
I praise you forever and ever.
I praise you forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you.
Every day I will praise you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
And praise your name.
Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord.
And greatly to be praised.
And greatly to be praised.
You are worthy of praise.
You are worthy of praise.
And your greatness.
And your greatness.
Is unsearchable.
Is unsearchable.
Unfathomable.
Unfathomable.
Beyond what I can even think or imagine.
Beyond what I can even think or imagine.
All found in the person of Jesus.
All found in the person.
To whom I give my life.
To whom I give my life.
My allegiance.
My allegiance.
And to whom I praise as my Lord and Savior.
To whom I praise as my Lord and Savior.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.